leadership is that leaders are those individuals who do the things that failures aren't willing to do, even though they might not like doing them either. They have the discipline to do what they know to be important and right versus what's easy and fun. Now, that's not to say that the best leaders don't have a great time. They definitely do. Actually, because of their superior ability to create success and lasting positive results, they end up having far more joy and delight in their lives than most of us will ever know. Few things generate as much happiness as knowing that you are fully realizing your genius, doing brilliant work, and spending your life beautifully, Tommy said, pulling off the silver necklace with LWT engraved on it. Here, this is for you, Blake, just for having the courage to show up. That's always half the battle. And for having the open-mindedness to learn the philosophy I promised to reveal to you back at the store the other day. LWT stands for Lead Without a Title. And that's what the whole method you'll learn today is all about. You never need a title to be a leader, my friend. And please know that you'll be hearing that line over and over today. That's part of the coaching process you're embarking on. Learning is the daughter of repetition, Tommy said. Meaning that repetition is a powerful teaching tactic. Through repetition, a new idea can quickly become integrated as a new belief. And since it's so important that you install the core belief that you don't have to have a title to show leadership in all you do, you'll be hearing that idea over and over again. We need to be reminded more than we need to be instructed, said the thinker, G.K. Chesterton. Got it, I replied agreeably as I checked out the shine on Tommy's sparkling penny loafers. Lovely. So, as we discussed at the bookstore, leadership is not some complex art reserved for the chosen few with Harvard degrees and impeccable social backgrounds. Each of us, by the very fact of our shared humanity, can show leadership. And with all the cataclysmic change in our society right now, leadership has become the single most important master skill for success in business. And I forgot to clearly mention the other day that leadership isn't only something to do at work. We need to practice leadership within every arena we play. To arrive at our greatest lives, it's ever so important to model leadership in our health, demonstrate leadership with our loved ones, reflect leadership around our finances, and live leadership within our communities. And most essentially, the foundation of it all is self-leadership. If you can't lead yourself, you'll never be able to lead anyone around you. Primary insight for you, right there. Finding the center of strength within ourselves is, in the long run, the best contribution we can make to our fellow men, said the psychologist Rollo May, Tommy recited as he drew in a long breath of fresh air. It's a great day to be alive, Blake. Just consider the alternative if you don't believe me, he added, giving me a playful nudge. Thanks for the gift, Tommy, I said, as I placed the necklace over my head. Finally, Tommy had revealed what LWT stood for. Lead without a title. I liked the sound of that. Again, thanks for making it out here at this time, said my mentor. Getting up early is one of the intelligent daily practices that leaders without a title perform with acute consistency. Reminds me of the words of Ben Franklin, who once observed, "There will be plenty of time to sleep once you are dead." He looked down at the graves. Blunt guy, was my response. He was spot on, though. It's so easy to sleep too much. Too many of us wish we had more time, yet we waste the time we have. Getting up an hour earlier every day gives you 7 extra hours in a week. That's 30 fresh hours in a month. Almost an extra work week every 30 days. That's time you can exploit to build your plans, refine your vision, and develop your best projects. That's time you can leverage to reflect on your values, remove your inner barriers, and rethink your thinking. That's time you can use to learn and grow and get to peak in all you do. One of the main aims of the journey you are on, Blake, is to improve. It's fine to be content, but never be satisfied. So improve everything. Improve it all, daily, relentlessly, and passionately. Inspiring. But I still need another cup of coffee, I admitted. Tommy remained utterly focused. He clearly heard me. He then looked down at the 2 graves again. Yeah, I was wondering about those. You spooked me, man. I thought that maybe you might be gonna get a little psycho on me when I saw them. But I trusted you, Tommy. At some level, I just trust you. Maybe it's because you know my dad. God, I miss him a lot.
Me too. He was a man of such generosity and decency. Even as a kid, he'd always take the high road, even when it was the hardest path to take. Well, I bet he'd be thrilled to know you were out here with me today, and to hear that you're set to make some big changes in the way you work and the life you live.
Yeah, he'd be happy, I said quietly.
Took me hours to dig these, Tommy said,
pointing to the deep holes in the ground.
Quite a workout for a 77-year young man, Tommy said with a smirk. Graves fascinate me. They serve to dramatically remind me of how short life is, when you really think about it. You know, we all end up in the same place in the end. Just a pile of dust, Blake. And all those things we believed were so important, things like titles, net worth, and social position, turn out to be so very unimportant. The CEO gets buried next to the street cleaner. And on your last day, all that truly matters is whether you got to know your inner leader, and if you did, whether you had the bravery to allow it to offer its gifts to the world around you. That's pretty much the central purpose of life, once you strip away all the trivialities.
Tommy paused and inhaled another long breath of the clean morning air.
The interesting thing about reflecting on your death is that it reawakens you to what's truest about life. Here, look inside.
At the bottom of the first grave sat a slate tablet. I'd never seen anything like it before. I could see that words had been scrawled onto the stone in clear block letters.
Go on,
instructed Tommy, reminding me of one of my drill sergeants at basic training.
Don't be afraid to get a little dirty. Get down in there and pull the tablet out.
My heart started to quicken. Doubt filled my mind. But before my fears could get the better of me, I leapt off the grass and into the grave, quickly picking up the tablet and wiping the dirt off of it. The sun was rising higher into the sky. Remaining deep within the grave and without glancing up at Tommy, I read the words I'd been encouraged to read. The 10 Human Regrets was the title.
What does this mean?
I asked.
Just keep reading.
The 10 Human Regrets, I spoke aloud. 1. You reach your last day with the brilliant song that your life was meant to sing still silent within you. 2. You reach your last day without ever having experienced the natural power that inhabits you to do great work and achieve great things. 3. You reach your last day realizing that you never inspired anyone else by the example that you set. 4. You reach your last day full of pain at the realization that you never took any bold risks, and so you never received any bright rewards. 5. You reach your last day understanding that you missed the opportunity to catch a glimpse of mastery because you bought into the lie that you had to be resigned to mediocrity. 6. You reach your last day and feel heartbroken that you never learned the skill of transforming adversity into victory and lead into gold. 7. You reach your last day regretting that you forgot that work is about being radically helpful to others rather than being helpful only to yourself. 8. You reach your last day with the awareness that you ended up living the life that society trained you to want versus leading the life you truly wanted to have. 9. You reach your last day and awaken to the fact that you never realized your absolute best nor touched the special genius that you were built to become. 10. You reach your last day and discover you could have been a leader and left this world so much better than you found it. But you refused to accept that mission because you were just too scared. And so you failed and wasted a life. I didn't know what to say. I felt moved for some inexplicable reason. Maybe I'd just read what would happen to me if I didn't make some immediate shifts and start leading without a title. Maybe I'd just been confronted by my own mortality and how rapidly my life was passing me by.
Maybe I'd just been nailed by Tommy and forced to acknowledge the fact that I'd been playing victim for most of the past years, blaming everything outside of me for the mess I was in rather than assuming responsibility for the place I now found myself. I realized that ultimately, each of us alone creates the lives we get to live. And through my decisions and my actions, I'd ended up with mine. One thing's for sure, the list I just read was profound. I wished more people knew of the 10 human regrets. Just imagine the lost potential that would be avoided if business people learned them and then broke out of any failure patterns they'd been working under. Just think of the good that would happen if kids in schools were educated on them. Just think of the human lives that would be saved right across our planet if the 10 human regrets were more widely known so that they could be prevented at all costs. It was in that moment that something deep within me changed completely. It was my proverbial light bulb moment. The coin dropped, and everything clicked. I promised myself I'd dramatically turn around the way that I worked. I vowed that I'd instantly transform the way I lived. No more blaming the war for not being able to get back into the game. No more blaming my manager for not being able to do great work. No more blaming my past for my inability to win in the present. In that moment, tired and dirty, standing in some grave that my eccentric mentor dug well before the dawn of this breathtakingly beautiful day with its promise of a new beginning, I stopped making excuses. I assumed total responsibility for the consequences of my actions and stepped into my best. "Did you write these, Tommy?"
"I did, Blake. I did,"
he repeated softly, wiping his hands with his Mickey Mouse handkerchief. His face looked serious. His voice was clear.
"Hell on earth is nothing more than ending up in this first grave. Hell on earth is nothing more than having these 10 regrets fill your heart just before you die. Nothing will so destroy your spirit than getting to your deathbed standing amid these 10 conditions. True human heartbreak is reaching your final moments and realizing that you wasted the most important gift that was given to you. The chance to present your magnificence to the world around. Here's one of the most important leadership insights I can share with you, Blake. Potential unrealized turns to pain. And the really sad thing is that the violence of mediocrity and a life poorly lived creeps up on people. It happens so quietly and ever so invisibly. And then wham! It just tears you apart," he exclaimed, slapping his hands together in a loud clap. "One of the big ideas I learned from one of the genius leadership teachers you are about to meet is this one. Success is created through the performance of a few small daily disciplines that stack up over time to produce achievements far beyond anything you could have ever planned for. These little success habits are so easy to do each day that most people don't think they'll make a difference, and so they just don't do them."
"So, success is actually easy," I spoke, remembering what Tommy had said by restating it. "Anyone can reach success if they consistently do the right things. And these little choices and small behaviors build up over time. I guess it's momentum at play. So eventually, anyone can get to the extraordinary place that seemed impossible to reach when they first started. The process sort of makes me think of a farmer. Seeds get planted, the crop gets watered, and the soil gets fertilized. Nothing seems to be happening.
And yet the farmer doesn't give up. The farmer doesn't run out into the field and start digging to find vegetables," Tommy offered lightheartedly.
"The farmer has patience and trusts the process. He just has the faith and deep understanding that through his daily efforts, the harvest will come. And then one day, almost out of nowhere, it does."
"You're a smart guy, Blake. Awesome metaphor, my friend. Your dad was right. You've got a ton of potential. Good on you,"
he applauded happily.
"We need to be more like farmers," Tommy repeated to himself. "This one's good," I heard him say under his breath.
Not a cloud filled the sky. Birds chirped while the sunlight warmed my face. It really was a great day to be alive. Tommy continued speaking.
"Successful people all perform the same few leadership disciplines. They consistently practice the same few fundamentals.
but their seemingly small, insignificant daily acts of excellence stack up over time to a best-in-class career and a world-class personal life. Which brings us to failure. Failure, on the other hand, is just as easy to slip into. Failure is nothing more than the inevitable outcome of a few small acts of daily neglect performed consistently over time, so that they take you past the point of no return. I really encourage you to look into this first grave and do some serious soul-searching as to how you plan to occur in the world after today. You definitely don't want to end up in this first grave. That would be a tragedy. Yes, I'll agree that meeting here in the cemetery was dramatic, Tommy admitted. But I needed to provoke you, to get to you, to move you into a place where you'd throw down your blinders, let go of your excuses, and have a good hard look at yourself. Connecting to the fact that you will die one day is a powerful tool to shift your thinking and awaken your inner leader. Why? I asked. Because remembering the shortness of life strips away all the distractions of life and reminds us what's most important. Visiting your mortality reminds you that your months are numbered. 960, I confirmed. Yes, Blake. So what's the point of playing small? What's the point of fearing failure? What's the point of worrying about others' opinions? What's the point of denying your duty to lead?
He succeeded, Tommy. I don't feel the same at all.
That's because sustained change only happens when we shift at an emotional rather than at a logical level. I wanted to get under your skin and touch your heart rather than just speak to your head. You can hear a good idea 100 times and fail to make it a piece of who you are, until you actually experience it viscerally in your body. Only then does it rise from being just some idea to a truth to you. That's why so many training seminars don't work to create lasting results. They fail to get into us.
True, I agreed. I'm starting to see things a lot differently and far more clearly.
I've fallen into the trap of thinking my job's not important, my work doesn't matter, and I'm at some dead end by being at the bookstore.
I appreciate the honesty, Blake, and congratulations on not feeling the same. You know, there's not one dead-end job in this whole wide and unpredictable world of ours, only dead-end thinking. And as someone who cares about you, I'll keep doing my best to challenge you to start playing in the field of mastery. Just remember that any job performed at peak and any work done at wow will lead to rewards far beyond the limited possibilities you may currently have the eyes to see. Just because you can't currently see all the success that's available to you in this moment, here at this cemetery, doesn't mean it's not available to you.
Great point, I'd never thought of that.
And as I'm suggesting, the real key is to bring some emotion, energy, and passion into the equation. That's when real breakthroughs happen. I brought you to this place to get you mad, sad, and more than a little frustrated at how small you've been playing with your career and with the treasure that's called your life. I wanted you to start to take personal responsibility for each of the current conditions you were experiencing, because the more you own your power to make choices, the more powerful your choices become.
I'm already there, Tommy, I said with heartfelt conviction to my newfound mentor.
Well, then let me talk about this second grave. Jump in, please, he said with a brisk wave of his hand toward the other hole, motioning like the maitre d' of a chic restaurant might on the arrival of an A-list guest.
I readily obliged and snapped into action, heading into it with boundless enthusiasm. I expected to find another tablet, or maybe another silver necklace with some peculiar acronym engraved upon it, but deep into the grave, I found absolutely nothing.
Here, Tommy said, handing me a shovel. You'll need to do some digging for this one. But rich rewards always flow from honest effort and hard work. You'll love what you're about to find.
I started to dig.
Quicker, Blake. We've got things to do and people to meet we don't have all day,
Tommy shouted, his arms crossed and his expression revealing that he was having fun. Soon, I hit something. I got down on my knees and started pushing away the dirt with my bare hands. As I brushed away more soil, I noticed something that sparkled extraordinarily in the morning sun. I carefully picked up the object and looked up at Tommy in disbelief. At the bottom of the second grave was another tablet. But this one was made of what appeared to be pure gold. Is this what I think it is, Tommy? I asked, stunned.
Solid gold, my friend. Now read it, please. You're ready to understand what the inscription says.
The golden tablet had the following title, marked in the same block lettering. The 10 Human Victories. Tommy spoke up.
I've painted a picture of what hell on earth looks like, Blake. Now we need to be a lot more positive and discuss the place I sense you're quickly moving toward. A state where all things are possible and there are zero chains on the difference you can make.
And how do I get to this place, Tommy?
Just do the things I've been encouraging you to do. And lead without a title. By infusing leadership into everything you do and each thing you touch, you can live remarkably. You truly can realize your original genius. You really can be one of the great ones. Read the rewards that you are guaranteed to get if you embrace the philosophy I've been sharing. I'm so excited for you.
I read the list. 1. You reach your end full of happiness and fulfillment on realizing that you are all used up, having spent the fullness of your talents, the biggest of your resources, and the best of your potential doing great work and leading a rare air life. 2. You reach your end knowing that you played at a standard of concentrated excellence and held yourself to the most impeccable of standards in each thing that you did. 3. You reach your end in noisy celebration for having the boldness of spirit to have regularly confronted your largest fears and realized your highest visions. 4. You reach your end and recognize that you became a person who built people up versus one who tore people down. 5. You reach your end with the understanding that while your journey may not have always been a smooth one, whenever you got knocked down, you instantly got back up, and at all times never suffered from any loss of optimism. 6. You reach your end and bask in the staggering glory of your phenomenal achievements, along with the rich value you have contributed to the lives of the people you were lucky to serve. 7. You reach your end and adore the strong, ethical, inspirational, and empathetic person you grew into. 8. You reach your end and realize that you were a genuine innovator who blazed new trails instead of following old roads. 9. You reach your end surrounded with teammates who call you a rock star, customers who say you're a hero, and loved ones who call you a legend. 10. You reach your end as a true leader without a title, knowing that the great deeds you did will endure long after your death and that your life stands as a model of possibility.
We both sat down on the lush grass that surrounded the graves. The words Tommy had written were at once brilliant, beautiful, and basic. My life had become so filled with worries and senseless acts of distraction that I'd lost sight of the truth of what was most important. I'd lost sight of all I could do, right where I was. I'd forgotten the power I had to make change happen. And I'd disconnected from the hidden genius I was built to become. Tommy's point was so well taken. I could choose to continue as I'd been doing these past years, coasting through life and succumbing to the curse of small, daily neglect. And if I did, I'd end up in that first grave, a wasted victim of the costs set out on the tablet of slate. Or I could choose the higher road. I could stand for leadership, excellence, and enthusiasm within my work and in my life. I could begin to lead without a title and go for the rewards on the golden tablet. One choice would lead me into a form of living hell. The other, Tommy assured me, would lead me to the place of my dreams. I knew which choice I'd make. And so, sitting there on the grass, with my strangely attired mentor sitting next to me, and the two fresh graves resting in front of me, I made it.
Chapter 4. The First Leadership Conversation. You need no title to be a leader. If a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, "Here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well." Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. The most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any. Alice Walker. Tommy gently placed the tablet of gold in the trunk of the Porsche and fired up the engine. Sounded like poetry to my ears. I followed him in my car as we made our way back into Manhattan. After a couple of hours of driving, Tommy stopped in front of one of the best hotels in New York, a favorite haunt of fashionistas and those who appreciated all things stylish. He handed the doorman a $20 bill to valet park his car and led me through the small yet impressive lobby filled with beautiful models, European travelers, and books on modern design. We went up to the third floor and walked down the dark corridor. "I want you to meet the first of the four teachers I'll introduce you to in this special day we have together, Blake. Her name is Anna, and she comes from Argentina originally. She's a lovely woman, so very kind, really industrious, ever so passionate, and deeply wise. Anna has a strong understanding about what it truly means to be a leader, and the whole lead without a title concept. Actually, she was the one who first taught it to me," Tommy shared as we arrived at room 304. I could hear someone singing inside. "Buenos dias, Tommy," chirped the lovely woman with a gorgeous smile who opened the door. I guess she was in her late 40s, yet she exuded a remarkable youthfulness and a noticeable sexiness. She was wearing a black and white uniform, the sort that high-end hotel housekeepers usually wear. Her light brown skin was flawless and her near-perfect teeth impressively white. She appeared enthusiastic yet graceful and very much at ease with herself. And she had adorned her hair with a beautiful white flower, an original touch that made her appear even more radiant.
"Buenos dias, Anna,"
Tommy replied, as he gently kissed one of her cheeks and gave her a warm hug.
"Was that you singing?" he asked.
"Of course it was. You know how happy I am when I do my work. It makes me want to sing, and when I sing, I begin to have even more fun. It's all so wonderful," she beamed.
Tommy and the housekeeper then reached for each other's hands and started to do a little dance together. Part tango and part merengue, it seemed to me. They flitted about the room as if nothing else mattered. It was at once odd and endearing. The two of them seemed to drop into their own little universe for a few moments. I just stood there, entranced by the whole surreal scene. I should mention that the dynamic between them had no hints of the romantic. It was far more about friendship. Yet I sensed these two adored each other.
"Anna, this is the young man I told you about. Blake, meet Anna. Anna, meet Blake."
We shook hands. Anna adjusted the flower in her hair. The room was perfectly made up. Dark woods and white linens, combined with hip architectural touches and huge windows that looked out over the busy street, masterfully balanced minimalism with warmth. It felt good being here. Tommy spoke up.
"Blake's a war vet. He was deployed in Iraq. And he works at the bookstore with me, as I mentioned on the phone last night. He's experienced a lot in life in his relatively few years. His dad and I were great friends when we lived back in Milwaukee. Blake's ready to fill his life with leadership, and so I thought it was time I brought him to meet you. I also needed to learn a few new dance moves, Anna,"
Tommy said with a wink. Anna smiled and blushed a bit. She then looked out the window, deep in thought.
"I honor you and all the other soldiers who've made so many sacrifices for us, Blake. You fought hard so we could all be free. I know it's impossible for me to really understand what you've been through, but I do want to express my deepest gratitude. I love America a lot, and you, along with those who fought by your side, have kept us safe and strong. So thank you."
I didn't know what to say. In so many ways, though I'd come home from the war in Iraq quite a while ago, I still felt I was there,
My time in battle had caused me to develop acute survival instincts that served to keep me alive. I'd shut down most of my emotions and generally was stone cold as I muddled through my days. I'd blocked out most of my memories and numbed out by spending a lot of my hours just wasting my time. And I didn't dare let anyone else get too close to me. That would only cause me to hurt them, or them to hurt me. But here was this exotically beautiful woman who didn't even know me, expressing her appreciation in this chic hotel room, sharing how my efforts as a soldier made a difference to her as a human being, confirming that those years of my life that I'd given in service to my country were not wasted, but were valuable. I felt honored and happy. "Thank you for what you just said, Anna."
"Thank you," I repeated.
"Will Blake be meeting the other guys?"
Anna asked softly.
"Later today,"
Tommy replied with a knowing smile.
"Well, that's good. That's really good."
She walked over to the bed and straightened out a wrinkle on one of the thick pillows. "Blake's in for a big day of transformation, then," she added, glancing out the window again. "The first day of a whole new way to work, and start of a brand new way to live. Nice."
"Thanks for making this time for me, Anna," was all I could think of saying. "It's all been a lot for me to take in, but what Tommy's taught me so far has been amazing. Just a few days ago, I thought my work was just a job, and that leadership was only for executives, and that success was reserved solely for the fortunate few. I see it all so differently now."
"Look at me," Anna said, pointing a finger to her heart. "I could come up with a million reasons to be discouraged, dissatisfied, and disengaged with my job. I could complain that I am just a housekeeper, and that all I do each day is to clean the hotel rooms of people with lots of money. But one of the greatest freedoms each of us has as people is the freedom to choose how we view our roles in the world, and the power we have to make positive decisions in whatever conditions we happen to find ourselves."
"I'm starting to really get that, Anna. We have a lot more power than we think, and a lot more control over the way our lives unfold than most of us seem to understand."
"Yes, Blake,"
she said sweetly, betraying a hint of her Latin roots with her Spanish accent.
"And so I've made the decision to give nothing less than my very best at this job."
"Great standard to hold yourself to. Nothing less than my very best," I observed, echoing Anna's words.
"That commitment alone has worked wonders for me and made me a very happy person in my life. Each of us can make the decision to love the work we do and perform it so well that people can't take their eyes off us. Living in this way has given me so much energy and made me feel so good about myself. A lot of people around here think I've been lucky. The management of this place treats me like a queen. The general manager has labeled me a high potential and sent me on more training courses than I can count. The famous CEOs who stay here know me well and teach me a ton of their business ideas. The movie stars who stay here almost always request that I be the one to care for their rooms. And the tips I receive allow me to send some money home to my family down in Buenos Aires every month. So I feel I've done really well, especially if you knew the history I've come from. But I created my luck, even though I faced some pretty big obstacles."
Tommy looked up at Anna. He reached for her hand. He then kissed it, softly.
"Anna also lost her parents, Blake. They were killed in a car accident in a resort town called Bariloche when she was just a little girl. Her grandmother raised her, but they were very poor."
"Very poor,"
Anna emphasized, as her voice broke with emotion.
"And so I developed a great appreciation for family. After the death of my parents, the rest of my loved ones bonded together. In Latin culture, family has always been extremely important. But we took being close to an entirely new level. I spent as much time as I possibly could with my grandma and all my cousins. We really had so little in terms of material things, and life was painfully hard for me much of the time. But I think I grew rich in other ways. I learned to love literature, great music, and beautiful art. I discovered life's simplest pleasures are life's most precious ones. And by always giving no less than my very best at every job I've had, I steadily improved my life. And now I'm here, at one of the finest hotels in the world, in one of the greatest cities on Earth. Maybe I've been lucky in some ways, but I also believe that lucky breaks are nothing more than unexpected rewards for intelligent choices we've chosen to make. Success doesn't just happen because someone's stars line up. Success, both in business and personally, is something that's consciously created. It's the guaranteed result of a deliberate series of acts that anyone can perform. And to me, that's quite exciting, Anna said energetically.
Too much of that stars need to come into formation before I can achieve what I know I can achieve sort of thinking going around today, interjected Tommy. People want something for nothing. They dream of having it all, but aren't willing to roll up their sleeves and put in the effort. They show up at a job and expect to be well paid without having to deliver the value that would justify them being well paid. It's a mixed up world we find ourselves in right now.
This is true, replied Anna, nodding at Tommy. So, as I was suggesting to you, Blake, success is created through conscious choice, and it's the eventual and inevitable consequence of superior decision-making. Anyone can be successful. Few choose to be. As you begin to do more of what leaders without a title do, you are certain to receive the spectacular rewards that leaders without a title get. And by the way, calling high achievers lucky is the easiest way to get out of having to get up off the couch and do something valuable with your life.
I allowed Anna's comments to sink deeper into my thoughts. I considered her words. She was clearly a sophisticated business thinker. I assumed that it was due to all the training she'd received and the conversations with top executives she'd had. I closed my eyes for a moment, but the honking horns from the street below soon interrupted my reflection time. I looked over as Tommy sat on a sleek sofa. In front of him was a stylishly designed table with a traditional white candle on it. Next to the candle rested a bottle of red wine from some vineyard in California. I hoped I'd get to stay at this hotel one day.
This might surprise you, Blake, Anna said, her words flowing quickly. But I believe I have one of the best jobs in the world.
In the world? I questioned, a bit surprised by Anna's comment.
In the world, she confirmed. I've discovered that my work is deeply important and essential to the smooth running of this intricate and well-regarded organization. I see myself as a goodwill ambassador for this hotel, and someone who manages its brand by the way that I behave.
You see yourself as a brand manager, Anna? You're amazing. I don't mean any offense at all, but everyone I know would think that you've got a hard job, and a pretty ordinary one. I mean, you have to clean up after people. I'm sure you work long hours, and housekeepers generally aren't respected that much in society.
What society thinks is of no interest to me, Blake. All that's important is how I see myself. I know who I am. I know the value of my work. I find ways to challenge myself each day, and I've made this job into something really meaningful to me.
You're amazing, I couldn't help repeating. This beautiful woman with the flower in her hair who clearly believed that her work as a housekeeper was the best work in the world inspired me, and it provided me with a tremendous amount of perspective. Too many among us take the jobs we have for granted and fail to appreciate all the positive aspects they contain. We wish for something better rather than realizing that often everything we're actually searching for lies exactly where we are. We just need to look a little deeper, to try a little harder, and to lead a little better. Anna was an incredible example of that.
I get to come to work each day and positively influence the guests that I meet with my excellent attitude. My focus on winning performance at everything I do, and my genuine desire to make their visit here the single best hotel visit they've ever had, shapes our whole culture and definitely impacts on our bottom line. And the dazzling way in which I bring innovation to every area of our department means that hoteliers from around the world have visited us to benchmark the way we play, she said. So it's not at all true that my job here is ordinary or unimportant.
You sound more like a management consultant or a good motivational speaker than a housekeeper at a boutique hotel, Anna, I observed sincerely.
Well, my goal is to motivate you, Blake. Tommy here thinks you're great. Maybe you just need to own how great you are.
I guess my setbacks and struggles over the past period have discouraged me, Anna, I said, feeling comfortable in her presence and opening up a little more to her. Look, I'm not playing victim anymore, so it doesn't even feel right to spend too much time talking about what's held me back in the past.
That's it, Blake, Tommy interjected, giving me a thumbs up. Good on you, my friend. Never play victim. It's impossible to build a tribute to success on a foundation of excuses.
Understood, but since I came home from my tour of combat, I just haven't had the confidence I used to have. And so I've just coasted along and not been into much of anything.
But something big shifted within me this morning, Anna. I feel I'm really alive again. My future looks brighter to me than it's ever been. You took him to Rosemead Cemetery, didn't you, Tommy?
Of course I did, Anna. When you guys took me there at the beginning of our unforgettable day together all those years ago, it was the start of my transformation. I had to give Blake here the same experience. He deserved that gift.
And the silver LWT necklace we gave you.
I gave it to Blake. I paid it forward. And I'm sure he'll do the same for someone he meets who's ready to hear our message.
And our golden tablet?
Anna asked gently.
In a safe place.
You're the best, Tommy,
Anna said affectionately.
The whole cemetery thing worked, I agreed. But I need to admit, I'm worried what people will say about me as I keep making the big changes I now know I need to make. The fact is, I seem to be more concerned than I should be about what the people around me think of me. What if they laugh as I start leading without a title, expressing my absolute best and treating my job at the bookstore as the most important job in the world? Most people in business just don't think this way.
What other people think of you is none of your business, Blake. Leadership is about having unshakable faith in your vision and unrelenting confidence in your power to make positive change happen. Forget about what others might say, and remember what Albert Einstein once wrote. Great spirits have always encountered opposition from mediocre minds. Just go do your work as well as you can humanly do it. The rest will take care of itself.
And what if I fail, Anna? What if I can't do it? What if what I'm learning doesn't work?
I spoke, voicing my doubts.
There's no way the lead without a title philosophy will not work, Blake, Tommy stated with complete conviction. And if you stumble a bit along the way, well, that's all part of the game. You learn to walk by falling. You learn to lead by trying. But every misstep brings you closer to the perfect step. And if people don't quite understand what you're up to, why let them bring you down? Great people construct monuments with the stones their critics throw at them, you know? And critics generally criticize you only because at some level they care. When they stop saying anything, it's because you no longer matter to them. It's when no one criticizes you that you should really be worried.
That's helpful, Tommy. Thanks. Anna returned to discussing her passion for her work. She waved her hands multiple directions as she spoke.
Every morning and every afternoon, I clean my rooms like I can only imagine Picasso painted. I feel as if these rooms are like the rooms in my very own house. And the guests that visit us here at this hotel are to me like guests in my very own home. I see myself as an artist of sorts, and each day I'm fortunate enough to be able to express my highest creativity on a canvas that others call work.
Amazing, I replied, inspired by this gentlewoman's missionary zeal for going the extra mile and making her work matter.
And that's what the whole lead without a title philosophy that we taught my good friend Tommy here is all about. Now, I should tell you, he was one remarkable student. He was totally open to the ideas and acted on them with superior speed. And that, in part, is why he's become so successful with the book company.
Oh, and his good looks probably helped him too, she flirted, adjusting a flower in her hair once again.
Tommy, sprawled out on the sofa, laughed and played with his stringy gray hair.
Titles do bring power, Blake.
But the problem with the type of power they bring is that if the title gets taken away, the power gets lost.
Makes sense, I interjected as I sat down on the sofa with Tommy. The power that comes with being a managing director, for example, only lasts as long as the person has the title managing director. If it's taken away, all the power that was associated with it goes out the door with it.
Exactly, said Anna, as she moved gracefully across the room. The influence that comes with having a title can be fleeting at best, especially in these turbulent economic conditions. There's a much deeper power than title power, Blake. And that's the natural leadership power that lives within each of us by the simple fact that we are human beings. Sadly, that potential is dormant and little used within the vast majority of us. But it is there, available to anyone who wants to search it out and then activate it. Actually, this is power in its most real form.
Why is that?
Because it's power that never can be taken away from us. No matter what is happening in the world outside of us, it's true power, as it doesn't at all depend on external conditions. It's authentic power. And that, Blake the Great, is the best kind of power.
I smiled at Anna. She made me feel special, and I appreciated both the strength and warmth she radiated.
Leading without a title seemed to involve a delicate balance between being firm yet friendly, tough yet tender, and courageous yet compassionate.
Anna then reached into her apron and took out a napkin with red writing all over it.
Here, Blake, she said, handing me the napkin. My friend Tommy told me that you would be coming, so I prepared this for you. Please read it. And while you do, allow me to get you a cup of coffee. We make amazing java here.
I don't know where I'd be without coffee, she added.
And don't worry, Tommy. I'll get a fresh cup for you too, honey, Anna stated,
blowing Tommy a kiss into the air, which he reached up and caught. I read the words written on the napkin.
The four natural powers. Natural power number one. Every one of us alive in this moment has the power to go to work each day and express the absolute best within us. And you need no title to do that.
Natural power number two.
Every one of us alive today has the power to inspire, influence, and elevate each person we meet by the gift of a great example. And you need no title to do that.
Natural power number three.
Every one of us alive with life can passionately drive positive change in the face of negative conditions. And you need no title to do that.
Natural power number four.
Every one of us alive to the truth about leadership can treat all stakeholders with respect, appreciation, and kindness, and in so doing, raise the organization's culture to best of breed. And you need no title to do that.
Anna returned with two cups of coffee, perfectly placed on an immaculately laid out silver serving tray. On the side were a few chocolate truffles.
Here, gentlemen, she said, as she offered us the coffee and goodies. Please help yourselves, and do be a little naughty and enjoy a piece or two of the chocolate. Some of that sweet stuff is good for the soul. I brought it home with me from a recent trip to Buenos Aires when I went down to visit my family. My grandma hasn't been doing so well, so I made the trip because I wanted her to know that even though my home is in America now, I'm just a flight away from her, and whenever she needs me, I'm there to help.
I admire that, Anna, I commented. I wish I had some family around me. I promised myself I'd work harder to improve my relationship with my girlfriend. I still love her a lot, and realize our relationship problems caused by my deployment can be resolved.
Well, I'm sort of like family for you now, Blake, said Tommy cheerfully, so I have no worries about that anymore.
I took a bite of the chocolate truffle. It was exceptionally good. Anna could tell by my expression that I'd been transported into another realm.
It's beyond exquisite, I know, she affirmed. Tommy mentioned he'd be swinging by sooner or later, so I saved a few for him. He's become one of my dearest friends.
Back at you, babe,
remarked Tommy, chocolate covering most of his front teeth.
You, Blake, just happened to have picked the perfect time to join him. Anyway, please tell me, what do you think about what I wrote on the napkin?
You sure you're not a management consultant?
I asked with a cheeky laugh.
Nope, I'm just a housekeeper who happens to have made the choice to behave as a leader,
Anna shot back warmly.
I continued, I loved what you wrote, Anna. In the army, it was so important that what you call titled power was honored. I definitely understand why that was so important there. We needed someone to guide us, to give us our marching orders, to keep us out of harm's way, and to help us stay calm when death was nearby. Without ranks and titles in the military, there would be no order. The organization would lack structure, and that would not only mean that we'd be completely ineffective to fight for our nation's freedom, it would mean people would be killed unnecessarily. But after my tour, I returned home to a vastly different environment, to put it mildly. I no longer had a rank, I no longer had a role, and I'd lost my band of brothers. It's only now, here with you both, that I can see why I struggled so much.
Let's hear it, Anna said encouragingly. I'd defined who I was by the rank that I had. I'd allowed my formal authority to become the measuring stick for my moral authority, and so when I returned to civilian life and lost my military title, it felt like I'd lost everything. Without a rank to identify myself by, I had no identity. I now understand I haven't really lost my power, and that all I have to do is own my true power.
Exactly. And this authentic power is one we are born into, so it's our birthright to awaken it and then unleash it to do its thing in the environment around us. Simply remember that no matter what your position within any organization, and no matter how old you are or where you live throughout the world, you have the power to show leadership. And no one and nothing can ever deny you that. But it's totally your responsibility to activate that power.
Anna elegantly moved to the well-stocked minibar. Inside it, I could see CDs, votive candles, exotic chocolate bars, and drinks of every sort assembled. She then opened up a wrapped CD by an artist I'd never heard of called Sola Rosa.
This CD's awesome, guys. Don't worry, I'll pay for it. I just love music, and I feel it's time to enjoy some now.
Then she played a track. Next, unexpectedly, Anna started flicking the light switch next to the minibar on and off. She didn't say a word, leaving me completely baffled by her behavior. The music played steadily, its rhythmical sounds lending a mesmerizing effect to the scene. As if Anna were in a trance, she just kept flicking the switch, turning the lights on and off. It was all so fantastic. Tommy looked unfazed. He sipped his coffee and dug into another chocolate truffle. I still remember every detail from that hotel room, even to this day.
What are you doing, Anna?
I finally blurted out with uncontainable curiosity. Tommy just shook his head.
Another one of her teaching tactics,
he said, licking the chocolate from his fingers between more sips of coffee. He seemed to love Anna's Java and was grateful for every delicious mouthful. On watching Tommy and his passion for nearly everything, I realized that there's a large difference between being alive and knowing how to live.
Each of us has a leadership switch within, Blake.
Anna finally said.
It's exactly what you were suggesting. Each of us has these true powers I wrote on the napkin slumbering inside us, and it's up to us not only to recognize that we have them, but to also flip the switch. And in so doing, we make the fundamental choice that will radically transform any career and every life. It's the profound choice to stop pretending to be a victim and to start presenting yourself as a leader. That really is the ultimate choice you have before you now, Blake. Victimhood or leadership? Flip the switch. And always remember that the personal authority that comes automatically when you express your four natural leadership powers has so much more influence and impact on the people around you than does the formal authority that comes with a title.
Oh, absolutely fascinating, Anna.
The lead without a title philosophy is all about the democratization of leadership, she continued. In this remarkable time, every person alive can now become a leader at their work and inside of their lives. This is the first time in the history of humanity that each one of us has had this opportunity. And it's only happened because so many of the traditions of business and society have been torn down.
Demolished, actually, Tommy contributed.
True, Tommy. And so now leadership's become democratized. Any one of us can show leadership. That's an incredibly exciting thing to witness, Blake. People waking up to their natural power to lead and stepping into their highest way of being. It's an amazing time to be doing business in.
I'm really starting to understand that, Anna, I responded.
Each one of us can now be a force of one and assume responsibility for creating exceptional results at work and building a world-class organization that will make a world-class contribution to customers, communities, and the larger world outside of it. No one's unimportant, Blake. There are no extra people alive today. Every person and every job matters, and all work can be made meaningful with a lead without a title philosophy. By the way, did you know that if, by your shining example of personal leadership, you inspire 10 people each day to play at their absolute best? By the end of only a month, you've positively influenced and elevated the lives of 300 people?
Very cool. I've never thought of that. And I definitely don't need a title to do that.
Right. And if you keep doing that, at the end of your first year, you will have impacted the lives of over 3,000 people.
Wow.
Wait, it gets even better. Anna interjected enthusiastically. At the end of 10 years of consistently leading without a title and engaging 10 people a day to be excellent through your good example, you will have touched more than 30,000 people. And if each one of them, in turn, influenced just 10 more people, you will have left your mark on over 250,000 people in a single decade. So yes, society sees me as a simple housekeeper who cleans dirty rooms. But I see myself as someone who has the responsibility for inspiring over 250,000 other human beings to realize their natural leadership power, and in so doing, step into the fullness of their humanity. That's well beyond just a job for me, Blake. It's become my calling, and nothing in my life makes me happier.
Simply incredible, was my honest response.
And I should share with you that I believe that the single best move any organization can make, whether the organization is a business or a not-for-profit or a government or school or even a nation, is growing the leadership potential of every single one of its constituents. Leadership is not only the most powerful competitive advantage for companies. It really is the ultimate tool of our current age to apply if we want to build a better world. But, as Tommy said, we can't be making excuses if we want to become authentic leaders, Anna mentioned forcefully. No excellent leader ever got to the lofty platform they reached by feebly clinging to fear-filled excuses. Victims live by excuses, and ultimately die by them. And generally speaking, people who are superb at making excuses are usually not superb at doing much else.
My mind drifted back to the 2 graves I had visited earlier that morning, and to the 10 human regrets still fresh in my awareness. God, it frightened me to even consider getting to my last few hours and knowing I'd die without ever having really lived. Anna knew she was speaking deeply to me.
Victims fall in love with excuses, like, I'm not the owner or the manager here, so I can't do much to improve things, or I'm not smart enough to lead change in the face of challenging circumstances, or I don't have enough time to do all the things I know I could do to make our company great, or I've tried to be the best that I can be, but none of these ideas have ever worked. Victimhood versus leadership, Anna repeated. Flip the switch and tattoo the smarter choice onto your brain cells.
Anna then escorted me into the marble-floored bathroom, filled with sophisticated toiletries and lavish accessories.
Close your eyes, please.
I did as I was told.
Keep them closed, Blake,
Anna requested, on noticing me starting to open them. I could hear something squeaking against the mirror, but I followed her request and kept my eyes closed.
Okay, open,
Anna sweetly instructed. On the mirror, in red lipstick, was the word IMAGE written in capital letters. What's this all about, Anna? I asked. This beautiful and exceptionally perceptive woman, who saw herself as the Picasso of housekeeping and her work as an art form, was full of so many surprises.
Me and the other 3 teachers you will meet today will each share one of the 4 core principles that make up the Lead Without a Title philosophy. We'll then give you 5 practical rules in the form of an acronym to help you install each of the 4 principles quickly and easily. This way, you'll automatically start creating some massively wonderful results for yourself.